Good morning, everyone. Welcome to SBFM Radio. I, last week, was on a subject that was very important, and I'm going to get back to it, but I want to give some facts that's related to the subject matter. I'm going to be dealing with functional illiteracy, the term most often used when citing statistics is the inability to read and write well enough to function competently in society today. I'm not going to get into any more into that. I wanted to start with that because one of the things that I wanted to talk about are prison statistics as well. And it looks like the nation's prison population is consistently increasing. From 1996 all the way to present time, California leads in the nation's highest number of people incarcerated. Okay. State and federal prisons, they hold approximately 2 million prisoners. It costs taxpayers' dollars, thousands of dollars, to house a single inmate. It has increased to, it was 27,000 back 10 some odd years ago, and it's all about doubled now. And in addition to housing them, it's in the billions of dollars. Now, this is tax-paying dollars. Now, you have to keep in mind that the prison system is in the stock market. In other words, they're investors. And in order for them to be paid, they have to have people in prison. And so, to make sure that they were going to have prisoners, they changed a lot of the laws on you. And especially the laws associated around poor people. I started on talking about the 1996 Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996. Started a whole big thing in associated with poor people. People that are receiving public assistance that the taxpayers are paying for. And a lot of people are not looking at that the taxpayers are tired of spending a lot of money, and it doesn't look like it's helping, even with the training programs, you going to school or getting jobs and working your way up. It wasn't working. Even those that got jobs, a lot of them couldn't keep them. And see, these are the things that have to be addressed when we're talking about jobs that are coming to any city, but I'm concentrating on Oakland, and there will be some jobs. The very people that are complaining about no jobs will not be qualified for those jobs also. You're going to have to up your skills, come up with a trade or something. You can become self-employed, create your own job. You know, anything. If you're able to stick bottle caps together and spray paint them and sell them and make some money, go do it. Anything that you are capable of doing, you're going to have to do. You're going to have to bring all the goodies out the box now in order for you to survive in this country. But I am concentrating on Oakland because it is one of the most dangerous cities in this country. Not to me, because I was born and raised here, but yes, I'm right here in East Oakland, in war territory. People are doing all kind of crazy things out there. So I try to get home before it gets dark and be in my house because you don't know what might be coming up. But a lot of it has to do with people not having any legal jobs. Of course, drugs has a lot to do with that. And are not prepared for jobs that are coming. And you may be one of those that could potentially come out to be an excellent employee, but you're not prepared for that job. Now, I will be covering some employment information as I go along, as well as I've come across a proposal, well, it's a RFP from Alameda County. When I left Alameda County as an employee, I went on contract, and I went on contract by completing a proposal form, or writing a proposal or a grant, they call these grants. And they give you, you know, the criteria that you have to have in order to work with these programs. And so for anyone that's looking to work on, you know, requests for proposals or grants, things like that, go to the government web pages, you know, from federal government on down, and get on those. They have it where you could, they'll inform you when there's money out there from the federal government on down. If you tell them to be notified, I told them I wanted to be notified about everything all over the place. So I'm notified, but most of the stuff that I'm being notified about, it has nothing to do with me. It's not even in the industry that I'm in, but it may be in yours. So you would have to go to these governmental web pages, websites, and find out what requests for proposal, RFPs are out, or they have requests for interest. Now, this one I'm going to talk about briefly is, they call it the Community Health Project Empowered, Engaged, and Support, EES. Now, this is Alameda County Healthcare Services, and they're putting together a lot of programs where you're going to help people. It gives you what you have to have as a person to apply for this. Now, I'm going to be giving out this information. I haven't been giving out this information and even employment information. But since employment is becoming a serious issue and is directly associated with crime, in this city, I will be dealing a little bit more with employment and self-employment but I just wanted to give you a touch and or think about you going on those government web pages, because you don't necessarily have to be a nonprofit corporation to get grant monies. You know, you don't have to. It used to be you had to be a nonprofit and a 501c3. I'll be talking more about that later. But you don't even have to be with many of them that's coming out, the grant proposals that's coming out. They're saying that if you're in the process of giving your 501c3, they'll work with you. It has gotten so difficult to find people that want to work these programs that they've become somewhat desperate and have laxed in some of the criteria and allow you to go and fix whatever it is that you need to have fixed in order for you to qualify for this loan or grant. Now, it depends on which one it is for them to allow it. Now, this one is due September 2nd. Okay, it's due, if I recall correctly, September 2nd. It just came out Friday, August 19th. So I'm giving you the information early enough. So if you're really interested, go to the Alameda County webpage or email me at sbfm.tv@comcast.net, and I will forward this email to you, because and anyone that wish to get any of the emails that I may be talking about, you could contact me either through email or by phone, area code 510-479-1089. What I want to do now is talk a little bit about the crime offenses of Oakland. I went all the way back to 1969. And this was a part of my, was going to be a part of my dissertation along with the welfare. But like I said, I got depressed with my findings, and I changed what I was going to write about. I couldn't figure out how to put this information together without being depressed. So, I want to give some stats pertaining to Oakland, and I'm going to go, this one goes to 2000, okay. This is the 1995 crime statistics. And we've gone up since then. And but it goes up to 2004. So if you want to know more about what I'm talking about, you can find that with those statistics. But anyway, let me give some figures here on murder. Okay, just murder alone. In 88, in 1969, there were 88 murders. By 1973, there were 100. By 1981, there were 123. And then 1992, we had 165. This is just murder. And it's going up, and it goes down a year, so it goes up, it goes down. But other crimes are just as serious. We have forcible rape. Robbery, of course, is always in the thousands. Felony assault is always in the thousands. Burglary is even worse. It's in the thousands. Car theft in the thousands. None of this has changed. Okay? Right here in Oakland, California, we still have a large population of people that are committing crimes. And statistics show that a lot of these individuals can't read or write. So when they get to prison, and I don't think we have rehabilitation systems like they used to convince us we did. They weren't rehabilitating anyone. But literacy and prison population are directly related. They're saying that individuals that are incarcerated, when tested, their tests very low, and some actually can't read it or write. That's directly associated with them committing the crimes that they commit because they can't get a job, they can't read or write. Now, they never thought about creating their own job, evidently, where based on whatever skills and abilities that they have. See, the thing about it is God gave us all gifts, you know, and talents and things like that. And it's inherent in you. And if you don't recognize what that is, you may not survive out here. Especially if you can't read or write, He will give you a way to still survive if you really want to. Just ask the Lord for that help. You know, you know, if you pray on it, you'll get the help. Can't read or write, I'm pretty sure He's going to say, go learn to read or write. But in the meantime, you have this gift, maybe something for you to use your hands. And you do it well, but you never connected it with making money. And we're going to have programs that are going to have to teach people how to use what they have, because some people are not just going to be able to work for people. They're not. And if we don't put something together, the people in the communities, also, you go to your city council meetings, county meetings, deal with the state and federal people when it comes to some changes that you think need to be made. Changes will not be made unless you say something, okay? Contradiction is the ruling principle of the universe. If it wasn't for contradiction, we'd still be in horse and buggies. Maybe not even a cart. But we're going to have to do something in our own communities. Okay? In our own communities. And you need to start, as far as Oakland is concerned, by registering to vote and voting. Because they're going to have this tax, grocery tax, as they call it, if we don't vote no on it. Now, the big issue is we have a large population of people that receive public assistance. I'm going to give some stats on that. If I don't get to it today, later. But it is also known at that time when they did the research on this, that a large population of those that did receive these assistance, food stamp money, you know, Medi-Cal, WIC, whatever the programs that you participated in that's directly related with you being low income and you qualify for it, you're going to have some problems if you are depending upon these resources for you. because not only are they going to be cutting down the monies for that, which means you're not going to have as much of those type resources, they're going to start charging you taxes on the things that you may not be able to get anymore through WIC because they can only serve so many people or whatever. For those over in this area, WIC, that was your butter, your milk, and stuff like dairy products started off with. Now they have cereal and all those kinds of things. But if they cut back the funding on that, the individuals that need those services won't be getting them. And then in addition, if they have to turn around and buy it, they're going to be paid almost 10% taxes on it. And they already don't get that much food stamps. They usually have to spend some of their cash money on food because the food stamps is not enough. But anyway, we have a number of stores in Oakland that have been advertising and letting you know that they will be hurt and the people in their community will be hurt if the grocery tax goes up. Now, what I'm going to do is give you the address of the store. This is an African Caribbean food market. The owner is KK Amangbo. They're located at 547 8th Street in West Oakland. I suggest you go by and buy some produce from them because a lot of times they're cheaper. You know, you can get your fruits and vegetables there. Now, the other store is, it's called the Marwa Market. It's on 2956 Telegraph Avenue. And looks like they may have two, 3101 Telegraph. Anyway, these individuals are the only ones that I see that are coming forth. And I will have to say, none of these individuals, the top four, are from America initially. And yes, that's what it looks like. And I'm getting more of these every day. The top four that have been come forth first in Oakland, this is what KK Amangbo says. A tax on groceries will harm working people and those who need help the most. This is what Pablo Martinez says. The cost of soda won't be the only thing to increase. The cost of anything in the store could go up. This is Timur Kwamja. The last thing we need is a tax on groceries. Oakland has higher priorities like focusing on education and crime. And last but not least, Abdul Talib. The money from this tax will go to the city's general fund where it could be spent on anything. For those of you that are interested in this grocery tax, go to www.nooaklandgrocerytax.com and register your vote on even online against or for it, and let them know who you are. And in the meantime, You should visit as many of the stores that they have when you go to lowoaklandtax.com. They should have the names of a lot of the individuals there that are, against it. And then I know my name. I know I let them know I registered with them to let them know that I was against it. And you can do the same. I suggest that you do. In the meantime, if you're not registered to vote, you need to register to vote, and you have to register by, what is that, October 24th, I believe it is. That I was going to memorize that. I believe it's October 24th. I'm going to let you know in plenty enough time because I'm doing the register. I'm registering people. And they only give you 50, affidavits at one time now. But you can register to vote at the in the city offices down there, the city clerk, I believe it is. And for those of you that are in Oakland and you're not able to pick up a ballot, I have some at SBFM TV. All you need to do is give me a call at area code 510-479-1089. And a lot of people believe that they are ineligible to register to vote and vote. And one of the main things that they're not, sure about is when they have an arrest record. Probation, don't worry about. It's if you are in prison or on parole. Parole means you're still in prison, but they let you be among the population in the community while you're still in prison. But if they are imprisoned, they can't register to vote and vote. Not those that are in jail overnight and they're not, in serious trouble. We don't have anyone specializing in going to the jails and registering people to vote. The homeless could be registered to vote. There's a process or a procedure that you can go through to register homeless people to vote. If you're interested in that, you need to go to the www.sos.ca.gov and go into the part about elections and the frequently asked questions about registering to vote and being able to vote. And it tells you pretty much all you need to know, including when we had an issue where they changed your precinct and when they sent you your voter registration, voter information material, they don't even have a precinct on there. So we've had an issue like that in Oakland, but they started changing that, and where you can pretty much vote anywhere, and especially at the voter registration office. So we shouldn't have any problems there. Many people are now using the absentee ballot. And just make sure that you're registered timely where you will be able to use the absentee ballot. It used to be, and I think everybody should take advantage of that, especially seniors, because it used to be you had to have fall into certain criteria before you're eligible for them to be mailed to you. Now they're encouraging it. So, register to vote and vote, and definitely vote no on the grocery tax. I will keep you posted on that, and because I'm going to try to interview some of these people they have mailed me this information on. But anyway, register to vote and vote. I mean, that's the best I can do on that. Now let me go to starting with some stats here dealing with Alameda County, but I'm going to show the relationship of Oakland with all of Alameda County, and you will find out that Oakland has problems here. And a lot of them. It looks like everything is going to be dumped on Oakland, including ex-offenders. Oakland has more ex-offenders placed here than any other city in the county. But I wanted to let you know that of all the county cities, Oakland had the highest population of people pretty much in all areas. The money, the Medi-Cal, the food stamps, the general assistance, as well as the refugee cash assistance program. Oakland had the highest of all the other cities in the county, the highest of pretty much everything. And somehow when I tried to explain this to people, they didn't get that out of all the county cities, Oakland has the highest. That means Oakland is going to be, out of all the county cities, the one that has the highest crime rate. No one, you know, put it together that way. Now, I'm not going to break it down into ethnicity at this particular time, but it is broken down in ethnicity. And for years, I tried to talk to people here in Oakland about the number of African Americans that are on public assistance of some sort. They lived in Oakland. And every time I bring that up, I would get a response from black people. There are more white people on welfare than black people. That's not what I was talking about. Not in Oakland. Yeah, and the other surrounding cities in this county. Yeah. But not Oakland. Oakland is the one that was going to have the major problem because of this, and this is what I was trying to point out. And they weren't listening the way I wanted it to be heard, because if you did the math, you'll see that it was inevitable that Oakland was going to have a high, very high crime rate. And we do. So now it's up to us in the community to take back our community. We have to do it. We're going to have to unite with authorities to do it. And that's a difficult task in itself as well. But in the meantime, we as individuals need to do what we have to do, and it starts in your own household. Then try to get out and meet your neighbors. It really shocks me when I hear people say they don't know not one of their neighbors on the block. Not one. That doesn't make sense to me. But it makes sense because that's how the city is having the problems that they're having. It's related to people not getting involved for more one reason. I don't know. So I usually associated with a lot of things, especially when it comes to African-American people. For example, low self-esteem. It is very easy for an African-American in this country to have a low self-esteem. But it's not only African-Americans that have that problem. So I attempted to teach a number of things for you to put it together. Now, I have put it on the list on SBFM radio website, and you'll see my handout. A lot of the stuff that I've already talked about, I want us to put it together, get the handouts, because we need to talk about the relationship between, you know, low self-esteem and maturity, because you have the four levels of maturity. And then we want to talk about the change cycle, because that's a critical issue here. We have so many things that are changing, and we're not keeping up with them. And then once you see that that change has affected you, that's when it becomes important. You didn't think about it, how it would affect you. See, that's what reality means. Reality means when it has something to do with you. And we have to, in the community, to get out there together, work together, the more the better. It takes a quantitative leap to bring about a qualitative transformation. If we want things to change, it's going to require us in our community to do it, and that's in anybody's community. It's going to require us here in Oakland, California, to get together and do some things. And black folk are so divided that we can't seem to agree on anything. Can't even agree to disagree. We end up at a standstill. We were conditioned to be so. And we're doing a very good job of it. I don't know how many of you have gone on the internet and read up on Willie Lynch. But regardless if he existed or not, we're doing everything that in that How to Teach a Slave kit. Whether we were really taught that way or not, we're still doing it. So I just suggest that we as a community get together and figure out some of these things. Let's talk about it. What do you think we should do to stop the crime? Now, our ministers are having a serious problem in doing so, because the population that we're having the most problems with don't want anything to do with ministry or the church. So you're going to have to learn how to reach them in order to get them to even pick up a Bible and read anything. Especially if they came from a household that didn't even have a Bible. I never in my life thought that I would run into a household, especially an African-American household, that didn't have a Bible in their home. And it shocked me when I'm talking to the second generation person. Their parents didn't have a Bible in their home. Now, I don't know how that relates to generational welfare, but they were a part of a generational welfare family. That means they had, you know, the mama, the daughter, then the daughter, on down were on welfare. I don't know what the association is with them not having a Bible in the home and going to church with that, but I do know that the Bible does address such things as that. Because that means that they weren't praying on anything. Probably haven't repented not one sin. And all types of things could happen to you when you are at that stage because you've invited Satan in to your life. Okay, he's just going to wreak havoc in your household. Hello, JJ.
Hello there. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. You got some news for us?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of quick little tidbits. Let's get right into it. First of all ladies have been put on warning that Kevin Hart is officially off the market. He married his longtime girlfriend this past weekend. And also Ray J. I know you guys remember Ray J. He's also off the market because he married his on and off girlfriend Princess over the weekend, the past weekend as well. Now, we're going to wait to see how this is going to turn out. Allegedly, Princess says that she ended up going to jail for covering up for Ray J when they had a fight. And she allegedly broke two of his ribs and cracked his nose during this fight of theirs. So we're going to see how well we're going to see how well that goes. What kind of boxing matches and things are going to come out of that?
Now, did you say she was the one breaking these ribs and things?
Yeah, that goes under that. That's that bull. Yeah, she allegedly broke his nose and broke two of his ribs. And he allegedly, obviously, pressed charges against her, and she ended up going to jail. So despite all of this confusion.
He's going to marry her.
Yeah, they got married. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, moving right. Now, ain't that
something?
Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Okay, next story.
I've heard of that, because usually the man beating on the woman.
He's
the one going to jail.
and if you see the young lady, she ain't big enough to hurt a fly. But she allegedly broke two of his ribs.
I'm wondering now, she's been trained. If she have been trained, she could be
trained to whoop Ray J. That's what she's been trained to do. She's trained to. And what kind of man? Oh, that just kills me. What kind of man cannot barring a weapon, a gun or a knife or something like that, what kind of man lets a woman break two of his ribs? But that, look, that's another story altogether.
Unusual. Are men that are being abused in this country by women, but it's more often the opposite.
Of course.
You know, but there are some men that are being abused, and I don't get it. I don't get it either way, myself.
Neither do I.
You know why? And then you turn around and marry them?
Oh, yeah, they are officially married. Now, there's a question as to whether Ray J's mother, his manager, she wanted them to sign a prenup. So it hasn't came out whether or not she actually signed the prenup. So I'll let you guys know when I find out about that.
Brandy said anything about all of this? I don't keep up with her either. That's her brother.
No, she has officially made no comment regarding this situation. No comment. Okay, moving on to the next filing on our list today, sticking with the marriage theme. Let's see. Now, according to documents that were filed in court earlier this week, now, Ed Hartwell, now, if you remember him, he is the husband of Keisha Knight Pullman and Little Rudy. She is the husband of Little Rudy. And right now, Keisha is, Ed says that Keisha is falsely accusing him of intentionally trying to hurt their unborn child. Now, Keisha says that her husband has been finding ways to obstruct her pregnancy, including engaging in underhanded and unusual conduct that she believes is designed to cause her to miscarry. Now, Ed Hartwell says in rebuttal that Keisha should be ashamed of herself for making false accusations. All right, now, there we go again with that bull. But she and her husband are in the middle of a nasty divorce only after 7 months of marriage. So that is what's happening with that. And he has also went on record to say that he does not believe that the unborn child that Keisha Knight is carrying is his child. So he is forcing her, or has forced her, to take a paternity test to prove after 7 months of marriage that the child that she is carrying is actually his. Okay, ain't that something? Now check this out. Let me say this first. Let's see. Now, all of the Empire fans are going to be excited on the 21st of September with the premiere of Empire. Yay! All right, now, I know you guys remember, the cliffhanger at the end of the last season when Anika and Rhonda, they get into a fight on the top of a roof, and one of them allegedly falls to their death, but we don't know who is actually fallen from the roof. Now, they got into this fight because Rhonda figured out that Anika is the one that pushed her down the stairs and caused her to miscarry. So they get into the fight on top of the roof. Boom, one of them hits the
pavement. That's how they close.
Yeah, that's how they closed it. That's the cliffhanger.
You know, I don't watch that mess.
Oh, I love that mess. I just love it. Now, also, we're going to be seeing how Lucius and Cookie met in the first place. So that's going to be something to watch and to really look at, because now we get to find out the background of how, you know, the Lucius Lion dynasty even jumped off. So that is what's happening, and that comes on premieres on September the 21st at check your listings for the times and that kind of good kind of stuff. Okay,
guess
and finally,
yes,
and finally, the Real Housewives star Nene Leakes. I know everyone is familiar with the Real Housewives star, Miss Outspoken Nene Leakes. She has been threatened by the feds to have all her assets seized unless she pays back taxes in the amount of, hold on, y'all, $824,366 and some change. Now, Nene, who her real name is, hold on, you guys, is Lenithia Monique Leakes, was hit with
right.
a federal tax lien. She was hit with a federal tax lien on July the 22nd in a Georgia court. Now, the IRS accuses the 48-year-old reality star of refusing to pay the $824,000 in some odd change in back taxes in 2014. Now, they're saying that if she doesn't pay, the IRS is going to begin process of seizing all her assets. Now, that comes on the end of, it is reported that she just recently purchased a $6.1 million house. So, So we're going to have to, look and hold on.
But in the meantime, I'm going to have you close in a moment, but I wanted you to know that I talked to Al Ballett yesterday.
Oh, my God. How is he doing?
We're going to all get together because I talked to Eddie Abrams. I told you that already, right?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, yesterday I talked to Al Ballett. And I'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, it's time for you to close.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm all done. So you guys, all of our listeners, I'm going to say again, if the stars got something to say, you better get it from who? Me, JJ.
AJ.
All right. Talk to you later, Cheryl.
Okay. I'm going to give you a call later on.
Okay, then. All right, then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, anyway, people, I want to tell you I'm still doing my program on Oakland and how Oakland got to be where it is now, because we didn't pay attention to what was going on. And in Oakland, we had a large population of black people that are receiving public assistance. And when I gave out those statistics some years back, we had a large population of black people that didn't want to hear it. And we're going to have a lot of changes associated with it. They didn't want to hear that, and now they're feeling it. The only thing that I have to tell them is hopefully Obama straightens out the middle class to where they will be a stable, simply because that's who taxpayers, they're the highest area of taxpayers. And a lot of their money is being used to pay for all of these programs that are for low-income people. And if the low-income category of people don't get out there and get jobs and do what they are and try to improve themselves, they're going to be in a lot of trouble simply because you're not going to be able to live in Oakland. It's already being seen and very clearly seen that the rents have gone up a lot faster than the income that you receive on these programs. And if you don't qualify for Section 8 or low housing, you're not going to be able to rent in Oakland. And because homeowners do not support the Section 8 and low housing programs like they used to, you have less slots for people to live in Oakland on Section 8 or, you know, low house, some type of subsidized program, because they're going to have a number of them coming out, but they're just changing the names of it, and you're not going to have any more money than available than is now, which means that you're going to have to move from Oakland. You've heard this a number of times, but now you're seeing it really happening. They're calling it regentrification. Okay? You're going to have to leave Oakland. If you do not have a job or you're in some type programs that's going to assist you to become self-sufficient, you're not going to be living in Oakland. And the cold part about it is that the surrounding cities in Alameda County, they have lowered the amount of housing they're going to provide as well, because they do not want to turn into an Oakland. So all of the surrounding cities, all of the cities in Alameda County, there's about 16 cities, is it, in Alameda County? They've lowered the amount of low-income people that they're going to allow to even come to their city. That's one of the reasons why they made it where you can leave the state, because this is it's a federal program. You don't have to, it covers all states. You can leave the state and still get some support at another state if you transfer everything that way. It's hard for people to even do that. We have had a lot of people that have left California for these reasons, have gone to other states to see if they can make it. Some people are making it and some aren't. Some of the people that leave California and go to another state may even end up on the homeless. We have a homeless situation going on here. And a lot of it had to do with the housing going up and not enough money coming into the household to pay for the increase in housing. In addition, they've cut back on a lot of the programs some of these individuals were eligible for. See, they used to give people SSI that was on drugs. Okay? That made you eligible, but they encouraged you and would have paid for you to go to get some help. Many of these people did not even ask for help. Okay? So that's why they were in a problem. Not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.